Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
You know, I started to move on to Revelation chapter 6 and go ahead and start with the seals and the opening of the seals. But I wasn't convinced I was ready to move on yet. So I was talking with the Lord about that, and I think we're going to be back in Revelation 5 again, because I think there are things there that I need to cover that I didn't really get covered. Here's something that's really impressing me as I'm reading through the book of Revelation. And that's this, that Revelation chapter 4 is a worship service. And everything that follows from 4 all the way to the end is done at this worship service. That put a whole new understanding of worship in my life. I began to look things over and say, wait a minute. If this is a worship and there are some really big things happening, there's some things that are totally pleasant, and there's some things that are so awesomely scary, I don't know that I want to even say them out loud. It's all done in a worship service. And I wanted to look at that worship service this morning just a little bit more, because there's things in it that I wanted to share with you, things that I believe God has been sharing with me as I've had opportunity to look back through it again. I'm actually going to pick up with verse 8, and I'm going to read down to 14 again. We did look at this last week. We're going to do it again this week. Now, when he had taken the scroll, that's this lamb that had been counted worthy to open this scroll, to break the seals and open the scroll. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, and redeemed to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them kings and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever." Now, all I want to do is just say, all of that's in a worship service. This whole thing is opening up in a worship service. It starts with just a small number. It starts with just four living creatures and 24 elders. And it moves then to thousands of angels. And it moves then, oddly enough, to everything that's on heaven and earth, the other living creatures. And somehow this whole thing has stirred up every living thing that's in the whole cosmos. So let's do this. The priority of worship in this ongoing worship service. Number one, it's going on when John arrives by invitation into the presence of God. You remember in chapter 4, look at verse 1, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, I'll show you things which must take place after this.' And immediately I was in the Spirit." God invited John into his presence. And as God is inviting John into his presence, let's remember that John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he's already been in the Spirit. Matter of fact, he prepared his heart that day. Get the picture here. He's on a lonely, deserted island. He has no friends. There's no one to talk to. There's no group to be around. He doesn't even have provisions for him there. And his first thought is, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That was what was most important to John. Do you think the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ touched John in any way? Now, here's the thing. When we call what we do a worship service, we need to have the same idea in mind for ourselves. I am being invited into the presence of God by the Spirit of God, who told me that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and faith invested in that has saved my life. I'm a new creature. I'm part of a whole new order of things. I'm not a part of this old order anymore. I am not of this world. I am of Christ. I am born of God. You follow where I'm coming from? That's what goes through our head first. Not that, oh, I hope I get the right seat, or I hope my seat's not taken today because I hate to fight people in church. Everyone should know what's my assigned pew, right? Yep. Uh-oh, we got a fight going on already. Rich, I don't know. Whack him if you need to, bud. But my point is this. There is a mindset in entering a worship service that says, I'm a child of God. It starts there, and it has to be a priority to us. It's easy enough in this world to be dragged down by everything in this world, all the business things we got to do, all the investments got to make. Are you making the right investment? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Is everything going good? Sometimes wealth is a real problem, isn't it? You understand what I mean? Well, just turn around and ask somebody else. What I mean is simply this, kids. When you've got everything that you need, heaven looks less. When you don't have anything left, heaven's all there is. You follow where I'm coming from? John had nothing left, but he did have the knowledge and the memory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew who Christ was, and he knew that Christ was alive, and he knew that Christ was seated at the right hand of the Father, and he knew that Jesus had been with him all through everything. Because John knew that, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then when this voice invites him to come up and see the things which must take place, when he arrives, there is already a worship service going on, and he falls deeper into the Spirit of God. So if you would, consider this. Worship is the response of being in the presence of God. Worship's not something you can gin up. You follow what I'm saying from? You can't just gin this thing up. Worship is being invited into the presence of God, and in the presence of God, there's nothing you can do about worship. Why is that important? Kids, we have to get past our own self-sufficiency and get to the reality we've got nothing apart from Him. And that's why we enter in with thanksgiving. We go in with praise. And being in the presence of God, worship starts then. So if we're going to call it worship, let's make sure that in my mind, in my heart, I already know I'm in the presence of God. Now, we have a theological difficulty here. Obviously, God is everywhere all at the same time. We say He's omnipresent. He's everywhere equally at the same time. There's not a place where He's just a little bit there. He's there every place. He's so close to us that if we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. He's not living way out there someplace. He's with us. But I'm not always aware of it. And there are times when I need to do some things to make myself more aware of that presence. That's why I've asked you, if you would, spend time reading through 5 Psalms a day. Take an intentional stop in what you're doing to read and engage with that psalm and pray with that psalm. Because it will make you a little more sensitive and a little more aware of the presence of God. He's always here, but He's waiting for us to draw near so He can draw near to us. And what we can do to be in that place for Him to draw near is a wonderful thing. Will it justify us? No. Remember this. You've been justified by the blood of Christ. You have been justified by faith in Christ. That's all. So there's nothing you can add to your justification by drawing near. Nope. But you can listen more closely than you did before. So I'd like to suggest this week one more thing you can do. So we've been reading the five Psalms a day. And you don't have to follow the plan we've laid out. All I'm asking you is take the time intentionally every day and stop and hear what the Word of God says. So here's something I'd like to propose to you just now. All right. Media fasting one day a week. Okay. Now, hear me out. Go screenless. Use your phone as a phone. Make that unique. Look at it and say, "Thou art a phone. Behold the phone." Amen? Now, here's what I mean by that. Take one day a week that's no social media, no news broadcasts. You know, listen to the latest thing that's intended to make you angry or bring out the cortisol in you or whatever else. That's not what you're doing. You're going to leave it alone. Not do it. Take a fast. But I've learned this, and I'll just go further. Say, use it as a communicative device. Calls and texting are the things that you need to do. If your computer is how you make your living and it's how you're living by it, then stick. Use it just for that. Avoid going someplace else to social media. All right? Here's what you can do instead. I've learned this, that if I try to tell myself not to do something, my body says, then that's the thing we're specializing in. Yes, we are. We are going to do that. You're not telling me what to do. And right away, if I say, you know, I'm just not going to eat that cookie, it says, that's the cookie I wanted right there. I'm after that cookie, son. Get that cookie. You understand what I'm saying? So here's what I want you to do. You can't do anything in a vacuum. You just won't. So if you're going to say no to the screen, then you better replace it with something that's got just as much dopamine involved in it as you possibly can. Learn to have prayer make you really happy. So if you're going to go screenless every time you think, I got to get my, I'm lost, I can't do it, then stop and say, Father, hallelujah. Jesus never had a screen, but he always saw you. He always knew what you wanted. He was always in touch with you. Follow what I'm saying? So use prayer as something that's instead of your screenless. Or use this day to call someone whom you've not seen at assemblies or whom you've had little or no contact in at least a week. So instead, as soon as you have that urge to want to get that phone out or get the screen out and go to social media or something, stop and call somebody. Take that phone and say, you know, I haven't seen Bill in... Hey, Bill, it's just me. You never know when you are going to do something really significant to somebody. I know one day a friend of mine from college, and I may have told you this, and if so, I'm sorry. A friend of mine from college, I hadn't heard from him in a long time, and I was concerned about his soul, and I just wanted to know how he was doing, so I called him. The only number I had, I hadn't talked to him in a long time, so I called him on the only number I had. He answered the phone with a kind of, hello. I said, I called his name. He said, yeah. Hey, it's me, Doug. What are you calling for? I said, I'm just concerned about you. How are you doing? He said, my wife or daughters talk to you? Sorry, man, I haven't talked to your wife and daughters in long years. Anybody else call you and say, call me? No, I know you're not going to understand when I say this, but God told me to call you. Oh, he said. So what'd you want? I said, do you know if you die tonight, you go to heaven? And he starts crying. Wow. He said, I know you don't know this, but I'm sitting in my office in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I have my 12-gauge shotgun in my mouth. I was just before pulling the trigger when you called. Now, all I'm saying is this. Never be afraid of the promptings of God to call somebody. You never know what exactly you're doing. You never know exactly what the effect's going to be. But rather than spend the time on a screen, why don't you put your mind out there and say, Lord, who can I call? Who can I have a... Or you could take someone from our fellowship to lunch. Or for coffee or a tea or invite them over. Unless your computer's a part of your livelihood, just shut it down for a day. And I recognize that's going to be very difficult because much of our life is tied to that. I'm just asking you, why don't you take some time to spend the time thinking over what can I do to know my Father more than I'm knowing media, more than I'm letting myself be called upon by that. Well, enough of that. I'll get on to the rest of the message now. If you'd be interested in that, it won't justify you. It won't make you a holier person. Please, if you think you do it, don't put yourself under some guilty burden to do it. That's just wrong. You're free in Christ. You're not be some deadly sinner if you look at your screen. I don't mean that at all. I'm just saying, let's do something positive that moves us in the direction of getting to hear from God. All right? Let's go on to the next part of our outline. Worship is the purpose of our redemption. That's the very reason that we were called on to be saved. Look with me at Ephesians for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 to 14. Listen as we say this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word blessed right there is the word eulogy. Say good words about. So when you are blessing God, you are saying great words about him. You are the one who is alive forevermore. You're the one who's self-existent, but praise him. Okay, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, different word, with every spiritual blessing in heavenlies in Christ. He's telling us that where you're seated in Christ Jesus is where you have all the blessings of Almighty God. This God has blessed you with everything, and that's where you're living right now. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, wow, what timing that is, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Listen to this. Why did he do it? Because you are really good people. Because he knew what a great person you would be. Here it is, according to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, because he wanted to. That's it. Don't look for a reason. Because he wanted to. And what was it for? Number 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now listen, you will give God praise for what happens. Can I tell you that your family who knew you before, your friends who knew you before, will also give praise to the glory of God's grace for your salvation? The people that you had known before will be giving glory to God. You will be giving glory to God for his grace. And we saw last week that the elders gave glory to God for his grace. Do you understand what a wonderful thing this is? Let's go on further. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. Why did he let you know the mystery of his will? Because he wanted to. Because he wanted to. Can I say that want to is the same idea you have when he finished creation? This is very good. He wanted you to know what he's up to, so he gave you that, okay? According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Let me get the picture for you. That means everybody who's a believer from back here at the beginning of this whole thing, all the way up here until the day he brings it all home, he's gathering everything from all the way back there together in Christ. This is the one. Everything else. It's not some of you were pretty good back here, so he's going to take. No, all of you got summed up in one thing, and it's all in Christ Jesus. Now go a step with me further. He might gather, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Why did he do it? Because he wanted to. All right, let's go on to 12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So why were you saved? To the praise of his glory. Let me go on further. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Worship is our purpose, kids. That's what we were made for. Letter C. Worship is the call of the everlasting gospel. Go back to Revelation chapter 14 just a minute. Revelation 14. Verse 6 says this, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. Having the everlasting gospel. How long is that gospel lasting? This is the eternal gospel, okay? So this is not some new thing that's popped up. This is not the latest good news. This is the good news that's everlasting. Listen to what it says. Those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. That's the everlasting gospel. Worship him. Who made the whole thing. So worship him. That's what we're about. Worship will one day be universal. All the nations will be gathered before him and all will worship him. Letter E. Worship is the environment in which the will of God is conducted and the goodness of God experienced. It's in worship that that creates the whole environment. This in chapter 4 here, it was in the worship of the living God that the invitation was given not only to John, but to someone come that's worthy to open up that scroll. And it's in the worship of God that someone is found worthy to open that scroll. And in opening a scroll is going to be the whole of the will of God conducted. Worship is the environment in which the will of God is conducted and the goodness of God experienced. That's what's going to happen. He's going to know this. John's going to know the whole thing because that's where the will of God is accomplished. Let me ask you, do you remember that when it's even about Job, that it is God asking Satan a question about where you've been, and that's in the throne room of God that the question's being asked. Everything is in the throne room of God. All the will of God is known from the throne room of God. He established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Whatever God wills to purpose, he does. I was interested. Daniel had some things to say, and Nebuchadnezzar ultimately said them as well. Let me see if I can read those to you just a moment. In Daniel 4:34, he said, at the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? It is fitting then that this scene of worship in the throne room of God should be the headquarters of the dispensation of the end of the age and the beginning of a new one. There's no independent authority or rebellion anywhere in the entire cosmos that can set up any kind of alternative to his will and its dispensation. God will do all things according to his will and omnipotence. Satan has not got some secret little conspiracy going over here that God doesn't know anything about. Yes, he does. And if it wasn't for the throne room of God, he couldn't carry out that conspiracy. When God says, you may go ahead, they do. But it all comes out of the throne room of God. Do you see why our worship of him would be so important? You're not going to find it someplace else. This is not done in Washington, D.C. This is not done in the Senate. This is not done in the halls of Congress. This is done in the throne room of God. Let me go on further with you. God told us that all that judgment was being committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to know this, that when Jesus Christ shows up on this scene in this worship environment, this worship service, when he shows up as the Lamb, it is Jesus who's opening all those seals. And as those seals are being opened, judgment's being carried out by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go on further. The events from chapter 4 through 22 are all done from this worship service. Now, let me stop just for a moment. When you come to a worship service, when any of us come to a worship service, can I ask, what's our expectation? What do we think is going to happen? If you've come to hear someone, no matter who it's up here, no matter what, if you've come to hear someone speak, can I tell you that all you came for will be fulfilled? Because someone will speak. But you could walk away very empty, or you could walk away as someone who said, I've heard better. What was that about? You understand what I'm saying? If your expectation is that low, then your expectation will be fulfilled. Why should we come into the presence of God? You say, well, wait a minute, that's a big stretch to say, you know, coming into the Edgemont Bible Church is coming into the presence of God. Let me break it down a little further. Within each of you who have been born of God dwells the Holy Spirit of God, who turned you into a temple of God. And he said that when all of those stones come together, he's there. When all of the stones of the temple of God come together, he meets with them. So if we come expecting to meet with God, that raises the whole level of expectation up a whole bunch, doesn't it? Am I expecting to hear from God this morning that I expect I would hear from God? Not did I hear from Doug or Al or whoever. What am I going to hear from God? And then you're going to listen past me. You're going to listen past whoever the speaker is, and you're going to, he may take you in a completely different direction. As you've heard something this morning, he's going to bring it up right here and take you on a path that's very applicable to your circumstance and situation. God Almighty is taking you somewhere that you needed to go with him, and you may not be with us here. I can't tell you the number of times that people have come and said, God really spoke to me this morning when you said such and such and such and such. And I can rack my brain trying to think, when did I say that? I don't remember saying that at all. I've even gone back sometimes and listened to my messages to see when I said that. I didn't say that. Nowhere did I say that. What do I know was going on? Somebody was meeting with God there. And God had something to say to them and took them someplace else. You follow where that is? Am I offended by that? What kind of fool would I be? No, not at all. So I'm going to ask you, would you stop just a minute and think, why am I here? What am I expecting to take place here? Do I expect that someone will be convicted by the Spirit of God and be saved today? Do I expect this son to be convicted of God and confess that sin today and leave it? Do I expect that today somebody's going to get over their root of bitterness and actually forgive and give people liberty? Am I expecting God to do something here today? Just stop a minute and think your way through that, would you? I'm going to be quiet for just a minute. I'd like you to honestly stop and think, what am I expecting here today? What am I wanting? I'd like to state just briefly some hindrances to worship. Some of the things I know will get in the way of worship. Number one is unbelief. If I'm not really expecting to meet with God today, guess what? He will not surprise you. You won't meet with him today. if I'm not really expecting that I'm going to hear something that's going to change my life, then you won't. You will work with the level of whatever you believe. If you're not really believing that you're a new creature and that you're walking among people who are a new order of beings, you probably won't get to worship today if it's unbelief. I know that unconfessed sin will get in the way of it. Profanity will get in the way of it. You say, well, none of us are going to say anything profane. Let me just tell you what profane means. Profane means that I lack discernment. I don't know what things are sacred and holy from what things are common. I don't know the difference between them. I don't know what's really something you can say and not be blasphemous and something you can say that's just kind of funny. Profanity is when I don't know what the difference between the holy and the unholy is. That will stop your worship. I know ingratitude will stop your worship. If you can't enter the gates with thanksgiving, you're not going to be into the presence, and you won't have it. Not seeking the kingdom of God will keep you from worship. Those are all hindrances to worship. Let me go on. On the throne of God, heaven is the starting point, not the stating point, but the starting point of all things. His kingdom rules over. The throne of God, his sovereignty, is where the will of God is considered, declared, and initiated. Whenever there's going to be a declaration of what's God saying, when it's a declaration of Nebuchadnezzar that you're about to lose your throne, that's coming from the throne of God. Because God gives people thrones and takes them down from those thrones. That's coming from the court of God. That's coming from the throne of God. It is fitting then that this scene of worship should be the announcement of the judgment of God on the years of rebellion against him. Let me just see if I can bring this part up to us. I've got some thoughts that I wrote down, and I want to make sure that I don't confuse them or miss them. Okay. In this whole redemption process that's going on here, everything he's going to do, as they sang this song about redemption, listen to this. God is redeeming the entire cosmos, the entire creation that he once called very good. It's not just you. You are key and central in it, but it's not just you. What he's trying to redeem is the whole cosmos. Consider with me this. There has been a rebellion in heaven with Satan gathering, marketing himself, if you would, and gathering up a following for himself. So there's been the rebellion in heaven. There's been a rebellion on earth as Satan had tricked us and deceived us, and we willingly followed him. And there's been that rebellion that's here on earth. So he's got a rebellion in heaven, a rebellion on earth, and those realms are not self-redeemable. They can't correct themselves. There's no amount of a people turning around and turning over a new leaf and behaving different that's going to be any better. Those things have to be redeemed by getting rid of the one group and redeeming another group. You're going to have to buy somebody back. You have to create whole new creatures for it. You're going to have to remove from office those who had created all the problem to start with. So he's got to remove from office Satan. He's got to remove from all the office all those who rebelled with him. And here on earth, he's going to have to buy people back. He's going to have to redeem them. He's going to have to make them all new people. It can't be done alone. And there's not been found anyone on heaven, earth, or underneath the earth that could do that. Only Jesus could, and here's why. Because Jesus is both God and man in one person. That's why they're worshiping him. They're recognizing his person, they're recognizing his purpose, and they're recognizing his role. So I've got some more on that. Let's go back over to our outline again. I'll open that up for us here. We're on page 2, if you would, top of the page. He's saying this to us. The worth of the Lamb, he's God and man, he's the perfection of person. He was here on this earth and as a human without sin, As a human, he's trusting God Almighty all the time as the Son of God. He is the perfection of God. He's the perfection of a role. He carried out the role exactly as God told him to do it. He carried that role out perfectly and perfectly a position. He is the Son of God who became a human that redeems people. This whole earth has to be redeemed by a human, and he is that one human. Everybody with me? And because he is who he is, all the elders, all the living beings are falling down and worshiping him because they're recognizing that's who he is. Now, I want to stop just a minute. Are you recognizing who Jesus is? That'll sure make our worship go better, won't it? If I'm really stopping to recognize who Jesus really is, the perfection of his role, the perfection of his person, the perfection of his position, if I'm really recognizing that, and I'm recognizing that he really is way over any president we ever had, he's way over anybody that's of the United Nations, who dares to stand before him? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is who you've come into this room with. Now, can I tell you, that's different than going to the local whatever club. It's as we enter this place in worship, in the presence of God with the full knowledge that it's Jesus that we're worshiping. When we enter there that way, that's where the will of God is conducted. That's where the goodness of God is experienced. Wouldn't you like to change our worship service? Wouldn't you like our worship service to be that place where the will of God is conducted, the goodness of God is experienced, and everybody walks away from there going, wow, God was good today. Not, wow, that was a great song today. Not, wow, that was really pretty. And he walked away saying, God was so good today. The centrality of the Lamb. Don't you notice this? That the Lamb is the center. Go back to verse chapter 5 with me again. And it says that there he looked, and right there in the center, it says in verse 6, Then I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out to all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll. I want you to stop and think with me for just a moment. Here's all this host of heaven. They are just everywhere. And you've got the 24 elders, and you've got the four living beings, and right in the center of it, right there at the throne itself, is this lamb. And everything in heaven is focused on that lamb. That's worship. When everything we have is focused on him, not in the back of our mind the Cardinals, not in the back of our mind the Blues, not in the back of our mind where am I going to eat my lunch next week, not in the back of our mind any other thing. We are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I can say it, well, I'm not going to say that yet. I'll get to it. We'll get to it. He is the one worshipped here. It's not a way of life that's being worshipped here. It's not a standard and code of conduct that's being worshipped here. It's this one. This is the one who created the heavens and the earth. This is the one who's inheriting the heavens and the earth. This is the one that has allowed all this stuff to go on, who has now redeemed all of that mess. Let me go on further with you. That's the centrality of them, but the work of the Lamb. God is redeeming the whole cosmos, not just people. Sometimes in our arrogance, man, we act like we are really something. That God did this, can I say this? Let's go all the way back here to creation. How many of us were there in creation? Two. The man and the woman, right? Do you realize it's the whole earth that's in those two people right there? Why? Because every one of us can trace our DNA all the way back to this couple. So if I can say it this way, the whole earth rebelled against God. Everybody with me? This is where it started. So if there's going to be redemption of the whole creation, let's take these two right here. This is where it starts. What happens to the creation? What happens to all the vegetation? It gets changed, doesn't it? Now, when it was supposed to just bring forth plentifully with all the good stuff that's going to nourish all the different critters that are on it, now it's bringing thorns and thistles and doing all kinds of stuff. It's modified. So this whole of creation is bothered by that. Is that going to affect the animals? Yes. I'm not sure what all took place before the flood, but I know after the flood, they're scared of us. They know we're going to eat them. They are frightened of us, and can I say, they are going to take their revenge on us. There are people who are going to be killed by beasts. Everybody with me? So not only do we have this couple rebelling, we've got the ground that's now in rebellion. We've got animals that are now in rebellion. We've got the whole of this planet disturbed. And that's all coming because someplace up here in heaven, we have another guy marketing himself as if he wants to be God, and people and creatures following him. So here's this mess we've got going on. Now watch what happens. The Lord Jesus Christ is taking all of this, and when he redeems this, it's not just people he's after. You see, all those critters are going to get excited. The day before yesterday, I was looking at an unusual thing that had taken place. A man had been, he wrote a book called The Elephant Whisperer, because he had, quote, made friends with elephants. Well, I don't know, you make a friend with an elephant, but nonetheless, he'd taken care of elephants. And then he took out as his life ministry to go around the world taking care of just herding animals in different places. Well, he died in South Africa. 31 elephants showed up for his funeral. 31. And they wouldn't eat a thing. And they came in peace. How did they know he died? It's not just people that are being redeemed. It's all those critters. It's all the earth that's going to be redeemed. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 just for a moment. Romans chapter 8. I know you've seen it before, but I want you to take a look at it with me. We're going to be at verses 18 and following. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, I want to stop right here just for a moment. The sufferings that he's speaking of, this is not about martyrdom. Martyrdom is going to take place. But martyrdom is not the only way people suffer. We're plagued by little viruses that can do horrible things to our bodies. We're plagued by diseases and inflammations that do terrible things to our bodies, and we hurt. There's a lot of different kinds of sufferings that go on. And what he's saying here, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation, that's this whole thing out here. All of the creation around here has an expectation that eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. In other words, they didn't want to do this. They didn't want to be subjected to futility, but they did. Why? Because of those two people and because of all the people who followed them afterward. That's the futility they got to live under. Now, go on with me further. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Who does that? The whole creation is groaning. Everybody with me on this? Now stay with me. Don't leave me on this. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Look, the creation gets set free when we're set free. Do you see why? It's not that we're so significant, but that we're the starting point. We're where this thing fell apart. So what's he got to redeem first? Where it fell apart. Right? So when you're going to hear Jesus redeeming people, Don't think of that as the end of the whole thing. This is where Jesus starts to redeem the whole cosmos. The new heavens and the new earth are coming out of this. Do you realize that all the animals are going to be thrilled? You say, no, not really. Okay, go back to Revelation chapter 5 with me. Revelation chapter 5. It says in verse 11, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then look at verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever. What kind of beasts are that? This is all the living creatures who are in the earth beneath us, who are on the earth we're on, who are in the heavens that are over us. They're singing. Now get the picture. Somehow it is communicated to them that Jesus has just taken the scroll. Somehow those critters come to understand that this thing is about to be opened up. Somebody's there that can finally break those scrolls that has all of them in the same deadly disease we're in. Everybody see where I'm at? Because we have been thinking in an unbelieving way that the rest of the world is simply a mechanical thing. It is hard for us to understand that when he says, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Yes, they will. Jesus even said at one point, the rocks will cry out. If I tell everybody else to shut up, the rocks are going to cry out. Why? Because he's the Redeemer. You follow me? It's everything that's going to be set free, kids. All those animals, they're already singing. That is so beautiful. They're already singing. Yes, 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 he's been found, he's been found. The whole thing's about to end. Yes, 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 yes. We're going to be in the new heavens and the new earth, and we're going to be redeemed things. We don't have to fight each other anymore. My teeth are going to change. I don't have to eat meat anymore. Hallelujah. I'm going to eat straw with the... This is an exciting thing in this worship service. That's what goes on at a worship service. Wouldn't you like to change an Edgemont Bible Church worship service? Let me close with this. When I look back, as he said, look, there's a line here in verse 9. You are worthy to take the scroll to open its souls, for you were seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Now watch this. Out of every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. See that? I want you to go back with me and think just for a minute, Genesis chapter 10 and 11. In Genesis chapter 10 and 11, we have, and chapter 10 is this genealogy of everybody who came off of the ark. And in that genealogy, how many people came off? Eight. And now the genealogy is no more sons from Noah, no more children from Noah, but we do have sons from Shem and Ham and Japheth. And those are the ones who are going to start all the nations. So they're going to start out, if you would, look, as he says, he starts out with a tribe. So what you're going to have, this is Shem, and he has this son, this son, this son, this son. Now they all have kids, and now I'm not just a family anymore, I'm a tribe. And those tribes all moved to the Tower of, where the Tower of Babel is going to sit, and rebelled against God. And if you recall, God's response to that was to change their languages. So as you read this, it's tribe and tongue. So he changed all the nations and people and nations. They weren't nations yet. They were going to be nations yet. They're going to get languages. Everybody see where we're coming from? So what I'm seeing here is a great reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel. You see, at the Tower of Babel was the great divorce. That's where God took all the nations and said, you have rejected me, I'm rejecting you. I am scattering you out. But he said, I do have a purpose. I'm going to take one group of people for myself. And he called them Israel, and he kept them for himself. He made them the apple of his eye in hopes that the rest would be jealous. They would all come back to him. But he divorced them. Do you understand what is happening with the great redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ? All of that happened in the Tower of Babel, all those scatterings out of all those people are now brought back together again and united in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many tongues, how many people, how many nations? All of them, there's somebody from all of them that's in that group. Wow, kids, this is a big deal. I hope you're part of that big deal today. I hope that you've seen something. Maybe I'm not. I hope you've seen that in this worship service, your life is laid out all right here. He bought you back from every nasty thing you ever did. He bought you back from every nasty deed that ever happened to you. He brought you back to a whole new world. He brought you back from this world of suffering and sorrow to give you a new hope and a new home. To give to you an everlasting life, all for trusting him. For turning from trusting in yourself and trusting anybody else to trusting him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you and I praise you. You are an awesome God. I ask that you let no one leave here without knowing exactly that Jesus is that Christ and that they can have everlasting life and full forgiveness just for trusting Christ. Oh, Father, thank you that everything is restored in him and that he is the holy and true one. He is the one worthy of all worship and all praise and all adoration. I thank you for all of that just now. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Once again, as our praise team is going to be singing, I'd like to ask you to stop and think. Do I know that I would be a part of this worship service because I've trusted in Jesus Christ? Or do I understand that I'll be forever separated from anything like this ever happening? I'll be forever separated from life. I'll never see God again. Which way are you today? May the Lord continue to bless you. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens. You're seated in Christ Jesus. You have the place of God's pleasure. Now, I'd like to encourage you this week, let's get out and share that good news of Jesus Christ with everybody. This is the best news anyone could ever hear for any time. Let's go share it with the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We ask that you would use this time that we get to have to look into the Word of God in a powerful way, Father. Teach us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us of his glory and his honor. And I'm going to thank you for that right now. Now we ask you to dismiss us with your grace and your peace, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.